And we're back to another podcast. This is Alex with Simply Gold. Thank you so much for joining. And I've got, man, I guess a longtime friend with me, Ali. Man, I haven't seen you in so long. I'm so excited that you're here.
Yes, I'm excited to be here. I've missed you so much.
Oh, man, that's the nicest thing I've heard all day, because I've heard is just negative Nancy's from a bunch of people. And then, of course, I've got my sidekick, Caitlin Ullman, who just started with Simply Gold not too long ago. Man, she's just living her best life. Look at that smile. You're happy.
It's a good time.
It's a good time.
Having a great time.
Caitlin came to us just over the last couple of weeks, just, you know, needed a life change, needed to make a new step in a different direction, and just all the clouds lined up with the satellites and the stars and the moon. And so now she's here. So this is actually her first time really just on mic. So I don't know what she's going to say. She might freak out on us and just go nuts. So I don't know. But we'll get it on audio. We'll get it recorded, and then we can just play it for random people. But now, Ali, I can't even remember where we met. It was at a networking event, I think.
Yes, it was.
So
I think, too.
In Louisville or something.
I think we met in Plano Legacy. It was through Master Networks.
Like a year ago.
Yeah, probably a year ago.
Yeah. It must have been in Frisco, because I was only a member of one chapter, and I was only doing it like once a week. I wasn't doing like what we're doing now.
Yeah, was it the Frisco Gun Club?
Yeah. Like, I only went to one chapter, barely.
No, it was Plano.
Plano? Okay. I don't know what I was doing there then.
It was close to Frisco, but I think it was the Shark Club, actually.
Okay. I don't even remember that.
You were visiting. It wasn't in the Shark Club. We were meeting at a hotel in a room in the back. This sounds kind of funny, but that's
no,
where
was
the
it,
was.
Was it at the one next to it?
The one next to it? Is that the Shark Club?
No. Oh.
Sandman.
No, not Sam. Nilo. Was it a Nilo?
Yes, it was Nilo.
Nilo. Yeah. This is hard. I don't know how many times I've drank since then, but I'm like struggling to put this together. But as soon as Ali walked in the room, I was like, oh my God, Ali, give me a big hug, man. I've missed you. So, because what I do remember about you, Ali, like I remember we did a Zoom, and I remember walking away and just being like, man, this guy's got it together. Like, you've grown your business. I can't wait to hear about how much it's grown since, or what you've been doing since. But what I remembered, my takeaway was, I was like, man, he's got team members. He is serious about his business. Your website, I remember now looking at it and just thinking, like, you know, what could the possibilities be? We never got a chance to work together. But yeah, like I said, I mean, I'm excited. So I'm excited you're here. I can't wait to hear what you've been working on. Are you still doing that same business?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Still doing the same
That's
business.
Crazy.
I'm excited to be here too. Thanks for having me. But yeah, nothing's changed. So I'm just, still working on, my business, Tidy Up, you know, house cleaning company. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I've probably grown more since the last time we chatted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a year ago, where were you at then?
A year ago.
Like, I mean, in the business, like, how many employees did you have?
Yeah.
Or like, what was your reach? How much of a presence did you make at that time?
I think last year where I was at was starting to get more involved in networking and tidying up my staffing process.
Tidy up. He's tidying it up.
Tidying it up.
Catchy.
Cleaning it all up. But I think I was at like, I was at one point, I think last year I had 7 employees, but that was way too many people.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have 4 employees. Well, I'm actually understaffed. I'm working on hiring another person, but I'm doing more volume with less people. And yeah, we're doing better now, but that's kind of where I was at in terms of, you know, staffing.
Isn't that amazing? Like, how efficiency is really where it's at, right? So Caitlin and I talk a lot about that, right? It's doing everything efficient with time, right? And measuring that type of activity. You know, the end result obviously is more revenue or more customers, things like that. But to get to that point, you really need to start measuring the in the moment activities, right? So you can become efficient. So, like, walk us through that journey, Ali. So a year ago you had 7 employees, you know, you said it was kind of too many. Now you're down to 4, but you're more efficient. So what type of processes have you implemented in the last year that you think have made you more efficient?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I've implemented quite a few things. One, the hiring process itself. I learned that hiring the wrong person and keeping them on, even though I need the people, it ends up costing me more time and money. And so I've had to tighten the hiring process. So now it's pretty like a rinse and repeat.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I need to hire someone, it's the same exact process. And it takes a while, though. It takes about a month and a half.
To hire somebody?
To hire one right person.
Dang, yeah.
In that month and a half, I probably hire four people. But of the four people, only one of them really turns out to be a good fit.
Right.
So that's one thing. And then, I don't know, like quite a few other things too.
What's your hiring process like?
So the hiring process is we'll post a job ad on Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still small, so I'm getting a lot of my traction for employees from Indeed. But I really want to be at a point where it's word of mouth. Because Indeed is expensive to constantly sponsor job ads and not get the best quality, applicants.
Indeed's weird. Have you ever been on Indeed?
I used to be on Indeed all the time.
It's kind of a
job shopping.
I think it kind of sucks.
It does. Let me tell you something really weird. Like on the employer side, a lot of applications you get are from people that don't even live in the U.S.
That's whack. And you filter it. It's not like you don't filter it. And then I think on the applicant side, they just click. They just like click 25 things. They even have like a rapid apply feature. Oh, it's like
it is because your resume is already in Indeed.
Right.
Like you can upload it, and so it's like a quick apply or whatever. You just click that button, and it sends your resume, and you're done. Like that's it.
Oh, that's interesting. You see, I didn't know that because mm-hmm. I've had people apply, and then I call them or. Now, actually, I have an administrative assistant, and she calls them for our knockout questions.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'll call them and we'll ask them. The very first question is, what interested you in the job? We're trying to gauge, like, you know, what interest they have. Some people will literally say, oh, I don't remember. I just applied.
And do you put how much money they're going to make on the application?
Yes.
Maybe that's why.
Sometimes it is. People say you pay good, and I'm like, okay.
I'd be so mad. I'd be like, get off my phone. Like, what? You don't even know what's going on. Because I mean, your business is not the most glamorous, job, right? But some people really like it.
No, but I've been that girl before, where I'm shopping on Indeed for a new job, and I'm only applying for jobs that are gonna pay me what I want to be paid. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care what the work is.
Yeah,
how much are you gonna pay me?
I mean, so like Buc-ee's, they pay $20 an hour to stand behind a cash register. Are you going to go work there?
How much do I hate my current job?
No, I think what Caitlin's trying to describe is like she left her last employer laterally, right? Day one, right? But her quality of life immediately went up, right? Because she was, so it didn't really matter about the money at that point, right? But me personally, I don't know. I wouldn't work behind a cash register for $20 an hour at Buc-ee's. Have you been to Buc-ee's? Like
yes.
On a Saturday?
It's busy. I live in a town where there's Buc-ee's.
No. Like, no.
I haven't.
You've never been to
Buc-ee's? You've never been to Buc-ee's?
No, I just haven't been on it. Like, the only time I've been to Buc-ee's is just when we're traveling.
I've been to a Buc-ee's where, like, a school bus shows up.
Dang.
While I'm trying to go to the restroom and the line is
no,
so
for real,
long.
Their food is really good.
Yeah.
The food's good.
You should check it out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Go in the middle of the week when it's not
hard
busy.
I think I'd rather do something else on a Saturday.
I pass one every day.
We're
so
gonna have to kidnap Holly.
On Tuesdays, they have cheaper gas than anywhere else. So on Tuesdays, I go to Buc-ee's and get gas.
Smart. Where do you find that data? How did you know that? Trial and error?
Apps.
TikTok.
Oh, you use Gas
TikTok
Buddy?
TikTok too. No, I found that out because I pass a Buc-ee's every day, so I just watch the gas prices.
Interesting.
I think I heard somewhere, I don't know if this is right, but I heard somewhere that gas is typically cheaper on Tuesdays than it is any other day of the week.
Interesting. Yeah, I never checked that out. I'm gonna start checking that out.
But yeah, I use all the apps and get all the discounts.
I just go and get gas whenever I see
this. Oh my gosh. No, I go to Costco. I only buy gas at Costco. It's like 30 cents cheaper.
Because you have the membership, right?
Yeah, but I only have the membership for the gas. I don't go inside Costco. No. I'll be out $300 later.
You know, I have a Sam's membership, and I never think about going to get gas at Sam's because it's the same as Costco, so the gas is cheaper.
Yeah, it's cheaper. It's because I drive a twin-turbo V6, so it only takes premium. And so, yeah, it's $4 I get Tom Thumb. So I go to Costco and get gas.
So like a slight flex.
A little bit, yeah. It's a Kia. It's still a Kia. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Premium on.
So, yeah. I only drive premium gas. I have to go to Costco.
Lame.
Or Buc-ee's on a Tuesday. No, so, I don't like Indeed. I've never, is that the only way that you bring in candidates?
Yes, that's most of the candidates. Occasionally, someone will know someone, and they'll refer them that way. But those should be the best fit, but they haven't been. I guess people misunderstood, you know,
right,
what to look out for, you know, for a good fit for my company. And, you know, usually I'm looking for someone who has experience in labor type of jobs. It doesn't have to be specifically cleaning. If they can't get cleaning, that's something we figure out like day one.
Okay.
But they just have to have usually labor type of experience, and they like to be on their feet all day. And generally people who are not a good fit are people who have experience in jobs that require you to be like at a desk, because there's multiple reasons why, but one reason is they just see this position as something beneath them. Even though this job pays more, a lot of people will apply for it, but they just clean it. They won't do cleaning.
Right.
So there's different reasons why. Sometimes it's mindset and things like that, but they have to have labor type of experience. I'm not hiring anyone who's not used to being on their feet, because this is hard work, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there are people that like it, though. I washed windows outside for residential homes, and it was hot, but I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I was, like, by myself, washing windows. Nobody was bothering me. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what, when they go into a home, right, they're by themselves, so they have to be self-managed.
Yes.
And they have to already know how to do quality work, like, at a higher level.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So you have four people, let's say, that you brought on. Mm-hmm. And so, how, like, one will stay, or one will last, or one will just basically go through the whole process before it's over?
Yeah, so the very first week is where it's more hands-on training. But really, training is about a four-week period where I'm assessing how they're performing and if they can handle, you know, or if they can meet our expectations and, you know, do the job correctly. But usually the ones who aren't a good fit, like, they're weeded out in the first week. Like, they might make it 3 days max or 4 days. But at that, like, within those, sometimes the first day we already know immediately, like, this person is not going to be a good fit. Even if though they pass the interview, and I'm the one who interviews everybody. But yeah, that's kind of what it works like. And then there's one person who will make it pass, you know, the first week, and then they'll continue.
Okay.
Yeah.
You find that a lot of people kind of vet themselves out in that first week, or you usually have to set them aside and say, hey, this might not be for you?
It's a good question. It varies for everybody. The one thing I'm very particular about is, like, if they, like, some people can show up and have great attitude, which is a great, you know, characteristic, but they just don't get the cleaning. I'm like, the whole job is cleaning. If you don't know how to clean, you know, like, even with training and all that.
I don't know how to clean. I can't clean anything. You
know. Some people find it therapeutic, but she is not me.
Yeah.
No. I can take out the trash, though. I love taking out trash. I'm not kidding. Laundry. Like, on a Saturday, love taking out trash. Because then my house is, like, decluttered. I love taking out trash. I will take out the trash anytime.
Laundry is my thing.
Oh, you like doing laundry?
You like doing laundry?
I like folding laundry. It's therapeutic to me. I don't know. I just like it. I get in my own little world. I fold laundry.
We offer laundry services, by the way.
Yeah, they
dishes,
offer.
Everything
do you
else?
Need a part-time job?
I'll catch you after the meeting.
Yeah,
you do laundry. I might need you to come to my laundry.
Yeah, we offer, like, in addition to keeping the house maintained.
Right.
You know, I try to do everything we can to help free up every, you know, the customer's time. So we offer laundry. We can make the beds. We can wash dishes, and a few other things like garage, patio sweeping, cleaning the refrigerator. Or changing the bed. Oh, I already said that. But yeah, we do all that.
Cleaning the refrigerator, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
People
I opened mine
do
this
that
morning.
Very often.
It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. It was, I have a pizza thing. I love pizza. Domino's, Papa John's. So, like, because I'm so busy, sometimes it's just easier for me to grab pizza, like, on the way home. So then there's boxes of pizza.
But also kids just go in the refrigerator, they knock something over, and then they just shut it, you know?
Yeah.
You need to learn how to cook.
I know how to grill. Oh, that's not cooking. It's just turning the grill on and throwing meat on it.
It's better than pizza.
Yeah.
It's good high in protein.
Yeah. I like to grill, though. But see, that's not good either. Like, you can't just eat red meat all the time. That's bad for you, too.
It is. It's bad for your cholesterol, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm not a doctor. I don't know.
I worked at a doctor's office. So I know enough. But yeah, red meat is bad for you all the time.
Ali, how do you get into this business? It always amazes me. Like, I'll meet somebody anywhere, and they're like, "Yeah, I own a company that sells toilet paper." And I'm like, "How do you get into that? How do you decide I'm gonna start a business and we're gonna crush it in the number two business?" Like, So, like, what was that point where you were like, man, I'm going to crush it in the house cleaning business. I'm going to annihilate it in this market. I'm going to become the biggest, baddest, you know, house cleaning company.
Yeah, that was, I was 19 when I started, and I was, remember, I was thinking things like that, and I invited my friends to dinner, and I was like, hey, I've got some great news. And they're like, you know, we show up, and they're like, what happened? You know, you got married? I was like, no, I said, I have great news, not sad news. And, you know, I told them, you know, like, I've got all this this vision, this plan, and then, you know, I just started it, and we've been growing. And, you know, prior to starting the cleaning business, though, at 17 is when I really started, like, investing in business and self-development. And I was just at a point where I didn't like where I was at. I was getting in a lot of trouble. You know, I had a troubled childhood, a lot of other things too. And then I was like, you know, I want to make some changes. So then I started a couple years in at 19. I thought, you know, what's something I could do now and something that is easy entry mm-hmm. that I can start myself because I didn't have, you know, a lot of capital.
Right.
And so I thought cleaning and I bought some supplies and literally just started.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How did you find your clients? Did you just like door knock?
No, actually, I started with building a website. So like immediately that was one of the first things I did and I put that up. And I think I've had some people find me that way. They were just searching house cleaning near me and then I showed up. And another way was I actually worked under another company as a contractor. And I was kind of getting my feet wet that way. And some of them would try to, you know, or some of them poached me. They're like, hey, you know, can we hire you directly? And so that worked too. And I think, I can't remember how else the customers started coming, but they just started coming, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good referral. Yeah. You know, you do a good job at somebody's house, I'm sure they'll send you word two or three people.
I didn't really get that too much because I was always of the mindset, how can I get out of this? And so how can I hire someone to do the cleaning?
Mm.
So I wasn't, that's something I was always trying to do. And I didn't build that relationship with the customer as to where I was you know, I always established myself as a company.
Right.
I think at one point, like when I was first starting out, I think I lied too, like to some people. I told them like, you know, like I would talk in a certain way on the phone. And then when I showed up, I was like somebody else. Mm-hmm. I think I did that before. That's not good, but I think I did that a couple times.
That's right. We're in the business of automation ourselves. So we've had a fake automation profile that's been running for 3 years. Have I told you about Jessica Sims?
No.
Oh man, yeah. So she's a LinkedIn profile, right?
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, right. It probably does. So she's this gorgeous blonde-headed girl. She's probably in her late 20s, and she doesn't exist.
And she's a catfish.
She's a complete catfish.
AI.
Yeah. So we automate her LinkedIn outreach to business executives.
I love that you're referring to her as a her,
as a real person, as a she.
She's
like,
not real.
It's an it.
You sound a little delusional.
So one of our biggest customers actually booked a meeting through that, right? And I remember telling Kara, I said, hey, I really need you on this meeting. She's like, why? I said, well, because it came through Jessica's profile and they're expecting to see a female on the meeting. So I need you to like show up. So Jessica is a blonde-headed girl, AI, right? Kara is a red-headed female. And the first thing out of the prospect's mouth at the time was, Jessica, not quite blonde, are we?
Maybe you should get a more realistic so picture of a person.
We laugh about it to this day.
So. That's hilarious.
But that's cool, man. I always learn something from you, Ollie, whenever I leave. I love how you, from day one, are like, how do I get myself out of this, out of the grunt work or the, you know, in the trenches or doing the actual function, how do I scale it from there? Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, what were kind of the first steps in replicating, you know, you, right? Cause it's like at day one, you're the brand, you're the best cleaner in the company, right? Mm-hmm. If it's not going to get done right. Cause you didn't touch it or whatever. So how do you make that transition?
Yeah.
In the beginning?
I think, I focused on first the actual cleaning itself. I thought, must be a process for the cleaning. And I looked into that and found there actually is a process to the cleaning. And it's a, what do you call it? Someone can replicate the process. It's very, there's a pattern to it, where you start, how to perform the cleaning. So that way you can go into any home and know exactly what to do. So that's where I started. And with that, you know, I can show anybody how to do that, and we would provide the same consistent results. So that was the first step. And then I had to learn how to actually hire people.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no experience in hiring, training, managing. So I had to learn how to do all that. And then also how I can apply it particularly to the cleaning industry or to, you know, the cleaning business.
Right.
So that was it, actually. And then our services that we offer, it's a package, or we have different packages. So we don't offer people customized cleaning, you know, like
right.
We have maintenance, or we have, excuse me, we have top to bottom deluxe, which is the deep clean, and that lists out the scope of work. And then if customers have a request like outside of that, we can talk about it and we can include it. But you see, it's not a full customized cleaning for each single person.
Right.
So that helped me scale it. And actually, customers like that there's a specific type of service they can, you know, choose. It makes the process easier compared to not knowing what exactly is going to be, you know, come with the cleaning, or them worrying about if they're going to get charged more if this is added and right. So on.
I love package pricing.
One time, whenever I was with my former employer, Ali actually came and did a quote for the office.
Dang. And where'd you meet him at?
Master Network. but no, anyways, he sends me the quote in an email, and it literally blew my mind whenever he gave me a list of everything that he includes mm-hmm. on the cleaning. And the one that got me the most was the top of the refrigerator, because who thinks of wiping
right.
the top of their refrigerator?
Nobody.
I went home that day and cleaned the top of my refrigerator.
That's funny.
But my, he does everything.
I can't even. I have like a little sliver of space. I think I can fit like a paper check, like in between cereal boxes. And I mean, what's on top of your refrigerator right now?
Nothing.
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 Nothing. There is nothing.
That's
on top
not
of my
true.
Refrigerator.
Really?
I swear.
Why? It's still space.
Because I have cabinet space.
That's true.
Have a yeah.
I have too much stuff, obviously.
Nothing's mine on the. Nothing is.
I got
on
dog treats and all sorts of crap.
Actually, I take that back. There is a, like, longhorn skull on top of my refrigerator.
That's cool.
Is that something you haunted?
No.
Oh, okay.
Does it have a name?
No.
Is it Jessica?
It's like Jessica Sims.
Is it Jessica, the spirit of Jessica?
You know what's funny? Actually, on our list, it says top of refrigerator, and then in parentheses, it says must be empty.
It's like an asterisk on page 7.
I went home and cleaned my refrigerator after reading that list. I was like, dang, I've lived in this apartment for almost 2 years. I ain't never touched
that's
the top
funny.
Of the refrigerator.
Hilarious. No, I think that's a differentiator, I think. That's a, man, like, marketing is king. I mean, you know, they got you. You were excited.
It
you would have signed up.
I would have.
Mm-hmm.
My boss said no.
Why? For the office?
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
Cheap.
You said it.
It's not even that messy.
No.
That's crazy. Man.
I mean, to the normal eye, it probably wasn't messy.
I couldn't
but to
do
somebody
it.
Who
I couldn't
actually
do it, brother.
Does cleaning, it might have been messy.
I couldn't do it. You couldn't hire me. So I've done two jobs in my life that were in someone's space. And I was like, I can't do this. The first was a valet parked. I did that for 7 years.
Oh, cool.
The cars sometimes would be so nasty, we wouldn't park them. We'd tell the customer, I'm not parking this. They're like, why? I'm like, it's a dumpster in there. Cups, you know, Chick-fil-A things, straws, dirt, just dirt, nasty dirt. And the second one was, even though I loved window washing for an entire summer, like, I would go into these places and nasty. I couldn't do it, Ali. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd freak out. Mm-hmm. I'd quit. I just couldn't do it. And it has nothing to do with like the fact that you're cleaning people's houses. It's just like people are just so dirty, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But all that is to say, like, I commend you for it's not the most, you know, like, I'm sure the most funnest job, but I mean, it's got to be rewarding at the end of it all. It's like, it's nothing but thank yous and, yeah. and smiles. And, you know, you're really coming in and it's, you know, you're taking time off of people's plates, right? Or you're accomplishing something that maybe they're not good at, right? Like, right. I can't clean my house. Yeah. I can't. It's dirty all the time. I got two kids running around like crazy. Mm. I got one of those robot vacuum things.
It's not enough.
It's not. No.
Yeah. You know, but it is a, it is a pretty rewarding job for, you know, someone who's like, it's not for everyone, but
right.
it can be a really good fit for some people. And, you know, I make sure to pay my staff good so that they're, interested in.
Right.
You retain employees longer that way. And also, like, it's very common in this industry for people to get paid very low.
Right.
And so their, what do you call that? Their turnover is very high. So, but instead what I've done is I pay my staff a higher wage and then they stay on board for a long time. And if they ever like encounter something where they're not feeling it anymore and they start looking around, they're not going to find a job that's going to pay them more.
Right.
In regards to like, you know, like with a labor type of job, you know, in our area. And so, yeah, the pay is good. And then some people really want to stay active and on their feet all day. And
right.
it is a what do you call like a mid entry or beginner or mid entry level job. So usually people who come on board, it varies for everybody.
Well, but depending on where they are in their life, they can make it a career. Is kind of what I took away. So it's not entry level where it's like, hey, you're supposed to leave, you know, and go do something else. It's like, hey, if you like working here, we can provide the support that you need financially or culturally so that way you can choose to make this a career if you'd like.
Yeah, my employees can make like $900 a week. Mm-hmm. So that's,
That's good.
I had one employee, she actually worked overtime and it slipped my radar. Like, I didn't catch that. I don't want anybody working overtime.
No, I don't need. I don't want my team working weekends or late at night. I mean, if you want or whatever, like, that's on you. That's what I would say.
To take on extra hours. Right. You know? So she wanted to take on extra hours, and she worked on the weekend. I just didn't realize it was going to hit over 40.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time it's ever happened. So, you know, I consulted.
And the last time, it sounds like.
Yeah. Because the wage, like, is so high. You
right.
know? I mean, it's hard to, like, cover that cost because
it's already thin margins or whatever to supplement.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
The
labor cost that week was ridiculously high.
No, like I said, I mean, culture's king, providing for your team. I mean, that has to be number one. It's more expensive. I'm sure you can agree for that turnover to happen, right? You mm-hmm. train people, they last, even if they last 2 months, it's like you've spent all that time coaching them, developing them, getting the stuff they need, equipment, And then you just have to start over. Now you got to start on Indeed and talk to all these weirdos.
Exactly.
That don't even know what they clicked on. So, well, Ali, man, tell us more about, like, how do we get in touch with you? What services do you provide specifically? What markets, you know, within the Metroplex? How far out do you go?
Oh, dang, that was a lot of questions.
Anything that you want to share?
Yeah, can we just start with the first? What was the first question?
So what parts of the DFW do you service?
So, okay, we're based in Allen, and we service a 15-mile radius around Allen. So we cover Plano, McKinney, Frisco, Princeton, the Colony, Far North Dallas, Richardson, Murphy, you know, like cities in that area.
Okay. Top five services or the top things that people typically ask for?
What people ask for and what they're looking for is a better quality of life, more time. And yeah, those are the.
Can you do just one cleaning? Like, if they're like, man, I'm going on vacation. I don't have time. I just need you to come in here and just like make it all shiny.
Yes, we can do one time cleaning, or the most popular is you know, the regular routine maintenance.
Right.
Or some people do something quarterly or every 6 months. And then in addition to that cleaning, we also do like pre-showing. So for someone looking to sell their home.
Right.
Or someone moving into a new home, or someone moving out, and then also post-renovation. So if somebody's remodeled their home, it gets super dusty. So we'll come in and clean all of that. So that way, you know, it's move-in ready or, you know, move back in. And Airbnbs too. We clean Airbnbs, but that one I'm more particular about. We can only do so many because it's very demanding. There's a high, like, turnover. Like, you know, people are in that Airbnb, like, almost twice a week. Because, like, people usually say on average 3 days.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I can't even imagine. I'm sure that's a whole nother conversation. I mean, the fluctuations of Airbnbs. It's like there's busy season, slow season. If there's a huge concert coming in. Or, I mean, the eclipse. Did you see?
Yeah.
So were you guys busy cleaning whatever Airbnbs you serviced during the eclipse or right after?
I don't remember, actually. I just remember,
because he's not cleaning it because he's got people now.
Occasionally I still do clean because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not large enough yet. So sometimes I do, you know, still go out. But no, the clips, I was worried about catching the video, you know, so I was.
Yeah.
I actually do have video of it. It was a cool experience.
It was cool. Did you see it?
I did. It was cool.
I got bit by three mosquitoes. It changed my whole life. No, I'm not serious. I'm not lying. Yeah, I got bit by mosquitoes on my legs.
Mosquitoes.
Yeah, it made it real for me. I was like, this is really cool. I don't know. Whatever. Y'all are laughing at me, but it's true.
Yeah. Well, I think I texted all my employees that day, though, and I let them know, you know, like, hey, you guys can step out and see it.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Just go over time. That's all I'm asking. No, I'm just playing. Ali, what's website, phone number, whatever you want to share on how they can get in touch with you to book an appointment?
Yes. My phone number is 469-663-8836. My business name is Tidy Upped, and website is www.tidyupped.com. So that's TIDYUPPED.com.
Perfect. Man, Ali, thanks so much for joining, man. I hope to, let's be friends. That's it. Don't leave my life another 6 months. So let's sit here. Oh, man. Thanks so much again for everybody for joining. Man, I wish you came out to Louisville, Highland Village. I'd have you come clean my house.
Well, I think we can go there. I'll make it happen.
Maybe it's like a gas fee or something I can pay. So, all right, brother. Have a great rest of your year, and we'll talk soon, all right?